You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wonder what Morales' IQ is.
He's chippy today.
He is really chippy. He's coming at us hard. Yeah. Lindsay's chippy today, too. Show's better when everybody's chippy. I like that. Let's go at it. Let's go at it a little bit. So, John, I'm going to do something out of the ordinary. I am going to say that Paul George, who had a fantastic game last night, deserves a lot of credit, and maybe has overcome the fact that he originally nicknamed himself Playoff P. Last night, he did look like Playoff P. He went off for a big number. The Clippers pulled the upset on the road, and I got to give him credit.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about Paul George yesterday. I said I think in these playoffs he's completely rewritten the narrative about his career, that he's not an all-star caliber player that can win playoff games for you.
Now, I don't want him shooting free throws in the final 10
seconds. Well, here's the thing. We talked about that he, you know what he did last night? He played so well that there was no crunch time.
Right.
He had him so far ahead that it didn't matter. So, you know, maybe he is one of those guys that just, you know, doesn't do well with everything on the line in the final minutes, but he played so well. Macy had 41 points on 20 shots. Think about that. 41 points on 20. He made 15 of 20 shots.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, this guy has solidified himself as an all-NBA caliber player, and I wondered if he was ever going to be able to carry a team, and last night he showed again that, you know, maybe not every game, but he can do it.
If he lays an egg in game six, what happens? Then has he rewritten his narrative because he would have lost game two?
Yeah, every playoff game this postseason, he's had north of 20 points. I think the only guys who ever do that before are Kobe and LeBron.
So even if he lays an egg in game six and the Clippers go out? Because he lost,
They wouldn't have made it to the Western Conference Finals without him.
Yeah, because I thought
but
as
I still
of,
don't know if he can be the best player on a team. You know what I mean? To win a title.
I don't think so. As of yesterday, I defined Paul George by Steve Ballmer's face in his hands.
Yeah, but yesterday Steve Ballmer was elated.
Yeah. No, he had a great game.
So you know the other day we were talking about how Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups have been hired as head coaches of the Mavericks and Blazers, respectively,
yes,
even though they had some pretty ugly incidents in their past.
Yeah.
And you and I both agreed that people deserve second chances. People deserve to evolve. They're not the same people that they were 20 years ago. But we also said that they should be prepared to answer questions about what happened and explain how they've changed so, you know, you're not just sweeping the victims under the rug.
Sure.
Chauncey Billups got introduced today, and a reporter brought up the 1997 incident involving Billups.
Oof.
And the Blazers PR shut the question down. Here's what it sounded like. Listen to this.
Hi, Jason Quick with The Athletic. You said the 1997 incident shaped you in unbelievable ways. Can you maybe elaborate on that and how it helped shape you?
Jason, we appreciate your question. We've addressed this. It's been asked and answered, so happy to move on to the next question here, Aaron.
I don't think you can do that.
Well, the part of it that confuses me is, did they already talk about it? Was it a follow-up question to something? Because she says asked and answered. Was there already a question about the 97 incident?
I think he said something about it, but he didn't take questions about it. And I thought that question was very open-ended.
It was.
It was, hey, you've said it shaped you in a lot of ways. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. And
now what the Blazers have done is they've turned it into a bigger story by doing that.
Yeah, it was an opportunity to kind of address it. And in a, and by the way, and I thought the question, I don't know who asked, somebody from The Athletic.
Jason Quick.
Jason Quick asked the question.
Covers the Blazers for The Athletic.
And I thought it was super open-ended. It was, how did it shape you? Because apparently he said at some point it shaped him as a person. You know, I don't know why you wouldn't allow that as a follow-up question. I thought the PR person was polite.
Right.
In cutting it off. But I don't think they should have. I think it was a mistake to do it.
Right. I the way, and we've talked a lot about this in various things, the way to handle situations like this is let them ask questions until they can't ask them anymore.
Right.
You know, until there is no.
Now, there's another side to this, though, and I was thinking about this last night. I was talking it over. Haven't Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups already paid a price for this?
Sure.
And at what point do they? Do, at some point, do they stop paying the price? I mean, these are they're terrible incidents.
Right.
They're 20 years old, and they've clearly paid a price, both professionally and personally. At some point, does it mean all right? It's time to move on from it. When Jason Kidd is 60. Does he still have to answer questions about this?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think that he needs... I think that when you get a second chance like both these guys are getting, you need to kind of show with your actions how you've changed. And so I think they're... You know, if you have those types of incidents in your past, you better not get another one. You know, because then I think it could...
Oh, well, sure.
You know...
Then it becomes a pattern, absolutely.
But if you're asking, do they need to answer questions about it every year they're on the job for the rest of their coaching careers? Probably not. That's why I would do a answer till you drop press conference. This is a common thing in politics. Hey, yeah, ask me anything you want.
Let them punch themselves out.
What do you want to know?
Yeah.
You know, and then it goes away.
So I wanted to talk about A-Rod. We've talked about A-Rod recently, and... A-Rod has been a desperate man lately. J-Lo dumped him. He went on social media and he made a post saying his life is not complete without J-Lo, and he played Coldplay Fix Me in the background, which is actually one of the best Coldplay songs, but one of the sappiest in this particular circumstance. I Will Fix You. He also bought a house... or rented a house a couple of blocks away from J-Lo in the Hamptons
right.
for the summer.
Weird.
He started dating one of Ben Affleck's exes, which is weird. And now he has posted a shirtless photo of himself because apparently he's been working out a lot. The shirtless, there it is. The shirtless photo thing, I can't imagine ever being in a position where I put out a shirtless photo, even if I did work out a lot. Can you?
I have a shirtless photo.
No way. No.
Yeah.
Find it.
We were goofing around.
Prove it.
Yeah. Okay. If I find it, do you want me to put it out?
Hell yes.
Okay.
You kidding me?
I got to look.
I like anything that goofs on me.
Yeah. I think he had a mullet in this picture, too.
Nice.
Even better.
Mullet and shirt. Was this the...
Baseball bat.
With a baseball bat. Yes.
Yeah, but
I don't know this picture.
I don't know where it is. You don't have a copy of it?
I do not. I wish I did. Yeah, send it out.
I had one at some point. If I can find it, I'll send it out.
Yeah, send it out.
Maybe for THT on Thursday.
Oh, for THT. Yeah, I call it THT instead of TVT. Yes. I get things wrong sometimes. I get things. You know, it's weird today. I walked in and I saw everybody, and I found out later it's National Hug Day.
Okay.
And I realized I had a strange reaction when it came to seeing people for the first time that I haven't seen in a long time. I'm going to get into that coming up next for you. Plus, the 123-year-old woman. And what her secrets are to staying alive
wait,
so
wait,
long.
Wait. 123.
Is that crazy?
Are you sure this is legit?
I will tell. Well, you can judge. Coming up next, Mason Ireland.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At 710 ESPN. Hey, they're playing my song. So I put out a poll, which I occasionally do here. Who is the smartest person on Mason in Ireland? Mm-hmm. Of course, because people like to give me grief, I'll say. Ireland is winning 41%, despite the fact that I beat him in Jeopardy twice.
It's funny you say that as a surprise, because every other time you put up a poll, or like someone else puts up a poll, you say, well, it's going to be biased based on who follows you.
Yeah, these are your followers.
These are my followers.
Your own followers who think that you're dumb.
Who like to mess with me. That we're friends. They like to mess with me. They're goofing on me.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they really mean it. Lindsay is voted here as the second smartest person on the show at 26%. We'll find out on Tuesday. Jorge is the third smartest person on the show at 17%.
Swag system.
And I am dead last at 16%.
You still got some time.
KA tweets, just for reference, Jorge is the most underrated smart on the show because he's got a vast knowledge of random information. Ireland just knows stories and tells them. Everyone loves Ireland. Okay. Smart can be many different things, but if I was seeking life, career, or general financial advice, I would go to Ireland. But one thing Mace has over Ireland is Bitcoin. I do have that over you.
Honestly, I think that while I'm flattered to anyone who thinks that I'm smarter than Jorge and Mason, I totally agree with the idea that Ireland is the smartest on the show, because not only does he know, you know, knows about all the sports stuff we talk about and all, you know, like he literally has like the most random knowledge and stories about everybody. And I feel like you have such a network of like people that know somebody. Like, you know, a guy who knows a guy. Like, you know, everyone. You have a connection to everyone. Like,
what movie is that from, Mace? I know a guy. I know a guy pulls any job in the United States and I can give it to him in an hour.
Wow.
My point exactly.
I can't think.
In Ocean's 11, when they grab Clooney. And he's in the office, and Andy Garcia wants to know who took all his money.
Yep.
He goes, I know you know Danny. He's playing Danny Ocean. I know you know. He goes, I know a guy. He knows who pulled any job. You know a guy.
Yeah.
I have more useless knowledge than anyone in America.
Well, I don't think it's useless, especially for your job.
Yeah, it's a weird,
everybody's got sort of their wheelhouse, right? Like yesterday before the games, I went to see a Spanish language Mexican film. So if that subject happens to come up, I'm golden. Or if stuff like Academy Awards or that business comes up, I'm golden. Baseball, pretty damn solid on baseball. But you've got.
I'm telling you right now, baseball will be on it because both you guys have good baseball knowledge.
But make sure they're. Make sure they're real Jeopardy questions, not just made-up Jeopardy, like actual questions that have been on the show, because that's the way you and I did it.
Okay.
Tough, actual questions. Okay. So the oldest person in the world is a woman in Turkey who just turned 123. Her name is Seeker Arsian, and she says she has genetics on her side. Her mother lived to 110. And she says the secret is she only eats natural foods. She says she eats a hard-boiled egg every morning for breakfast. And on her table, there is always butter, honey, and cheese. The family, a couple of the grandkids, got COVID 6 months ago, and she didn't even catch it. They were in the same space. She never tested positive. She's just like the healthiest damn woman in the world. Now, who wants to live to 123?
Not me.
Oh, God. Although she looks really good. I've seen the picture. She looks really good, and she seems alert, and, You know, she seems alert.
Come on.
I mean, she seems like she's got it together. She seems like she's got it together. I don't want to live to 123. I want to live to about 81, I'd say. 81 seems like a good number. 82.
My dad made it to 83. I'd like to outlive my dad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Anything past that, I look at it as gravy.
Yeah, my dad didn't make it near so long. But yeah, but I want to live till a day before miserable. So far, I feel pretty good, so I'm good. Now, the one thing I will tell you, what about you, Linz?
How long do I want to live?
Yeah.
I guess it all depends on how I'm feeling. Yeah. I don't want to be miserable.
Till a day before miserable. Yeah, Jorge, do you have any any aspiration to live to 123?
85, 86.
Yeah, now you do the natural foods thing right a lot, John.
But Lisa does it better than I do.
But you like eliminate processed sugar and all that kind of business.
I try. I don't always succeed.
Yeah, I need processed sugar every day or I'm in trouble. I need the
remember when you tried to say that you didn't eat sugar at all for 2 weeks?
Who, that's Ireland?
Funny. No, you.
You, remember, and you lasted at one point, 2 days.
I think I didn't eat donuts for 2 weeks.
No. You said you were completely cutting out sugar, and we all joked that you'd only last a day or two. And you're like, oh, no, I'm cutting it out completely. And you were insistent that you could do it. And I told you that it's more addictive than crack. And you were like, well, I'm not addicted to sugar. No way, I can cut it out. And then we never heard from it about it again.
Yeah, sugar's delicious.
You're right.
But natural sugar's okay. It's just the processed sugar that's bad for you, right?
Natural sugar still isn't great for you.
It's still not great for you, but at least it's not stuff coming out of packages and stuff like that. I think that's actually different. Like, this lady eats honey. So honey's like a natural sugar, right? Yeah. I think. So it's National Hug Holiday, John. It's the National Hug Holiday. So I'm here at the studio today. They allowed me to come in because Spectrum sucks. And I reacted to people in a weird way. Like, boss Amanda was here. And I didn't know whether to hug her or not. She didn't know whether to hug me or not. Normally, we're friends and, you know, we would normally hug. We ended up hugging, but it was a cautious hug. We both had to check with each other to see, like, is it okay to hug? You have to get permission from somebody now to hug like that. I still think hugging, handshaking, all that stuff is going to make a comeback. It's National Hug Day. When you see a friend, do you hug them?
Yep. I probably hugged 25 people last night.
See? Now, don't you think now you will hug them, but you will not shake their hands, you say?
I shook some hands. I was not. I don't instigate handshakes. But if someone starts one, I don't make a big deal out of it. I just shake hands and keep going.
Yeah, I do not either. I will shake hands. Apparently, some people
instigate fist bumps.
Yeah, instigate fist bumps. But when somebody reaches out their hand, you go ahead and shake it.
I do.
Yeah, I'm going to be a handshake guy. I'm going to return to normal. I want everything to be like it was.
The guy who's
going to
struggle the most with this, and he'll be here tomorrow, is Michael.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what his MO is if a guy sticks his hand out.
That's
my guess is Michael will close his fist and go, let me give you one of these and do a bump.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because you leave somebody hanging in a weird way if they reach out their hand and you go to the bump.
Right. What if, like, you go in for the hug and they go out for, like, the handshake? Like,
That's another awkward one. It's another awkward one. I mean, you don't hug everybody. Like, I'm not going to, there's not like when I go to a Lakers game and go to the press area, there's not a lot of hugging that goes on there. There's a lot
of
handshaking.
What about, like, Ramona? You'd like hug Ramona.
I'll hug Ramona,
right?
Absolutely. She's one of my best
Morales?
Friends. Morales, that's an interesting question. I would say
bow. Larry David bow.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd shake hands.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
Unless I saw him go right to the Purell machine first, I'm not sure. I just don't know where Morales has been.
Morales has been in his home recording imaging for the past year plus, whatever, just like the rest of us.
Golfing and smoking cigars, too. And I told Morales today, he's very worried about me, John, because I skipped golf yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think you're falling out of love with golf pretty rapidly.
Yeah, I don't understand the... You know what? My life, I have had a lot of failures in life. I've had a lot of successes, but I had a lot of failures. And so, like, when I go to the driving range, I have half a bucket of failures.
It can be a very frustrating game.
And we're supposed to be playing this thing. After my vacation in a couple of weeks, maybe I'll go back to lessons. But I don't think I'm going back to lessons until after I get a break from this thing.
Well, you know, when I went to Denver for that wedding, I took a week off.
Yeah.
When I came back, I played some of my best golf of the year just taking a week off. So it might help.
Yeah, it might. Getting a break from the game. Yeah, I could definitely use that. All right, coming up next for you. On this date in 1990, something really cool happened. Do you know what it was?
No.
I've got it for you. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. Hey, what's going on? Mason and Ireland show. Lindsay's here. Jorge's here. Radio Tinder is coming up for you in about 15 minutes. John, on this date in 1990, something very, very cool happened. Jorge, do you have that? Hit it.
And the crowd now with more emotion following every pitch. There was a short chant. Pedro, Pedro. As they did in Boston in the 86 World Series to try and taunt Strawberry. And now they're doing it to Guerrero, hoping to distract him, hoping to upset him, hoping perhaps to make him try too hard. Fernando ready in the strike two pitch, is hit back to the box, dribbling to second, Samuel on the bag, close to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990. If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
The great Vin Scully, yeah, no for Fernando Scully. Valenzuela. Oh, what an amazing call that is, right?
Yeah.
Are you just born? I guess he's just born with that, right?
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah. Throw it to the sky. Boy, no, I still, to be at a no-hitter, have you ever been to one? Oh, you have been to one. You were
not
at the Ramon Martinez.
I went to one where the Astros clinched the division in 1986 on a no-hitter.
Who was that?
Mike Scott.
Oh, Mike Scott, yeah. Mike Scott used to nick up the baseball a lot.
Very much.
He found ways
And he'd always scuff it in the same spot with a really sharp belt buckle.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Hey, last night Dodgers win, and I think the takeaway from that game is a couple of things. First of all, a lot of base runners, a lot of traffic for San Francisco. Basically, we out-homered them. It was three solo homers to two solo homers. And the one thing that bothered me and has bothered me for the last couple of weeks about the Dodgers is that the two most reliable setup guys we've had are Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen. And both of them, in fact, Blake Treinen had runners on second and third with, I think, one out in the eighth inning last night and wiggled his way out of it. But too much traffic, I think, for high leverage relievers late in games. And beyond those two guys, I'm not sure who our high leverage relievers are.
But you know what though? Okay, so they've played 79 games.
Yes.
Okay, two short of the halfway mark.
Yep.
I thought you were insane. I mean, like, I thought it was one of your dumbest predictions ever.
What?
When you said Kenley Jansen was going to get 35 saves.
Yes.
He has 19. You're actually ahead of schedule.
Yeah, on pace. He's been nothing short of awesome this year. Nothing short of awesome. And by the way, Dodgers do have a 2.5 game. They trail San Francisco by 2.5 with another game coming up tonight. It is going to be a duel tonight.
That game's on ESPN, 7 o'clock on ESPN.
Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers, who just lost his first game since 2019. Remember, he went undefeated in 2020 in the short season and just lost his last start. versus Kevin Gausman, who's been probably the runner-up right now for the Cy Young Award, just behind Jacob deGrom. So it should be good tonight. Hey, don't do the wave tonight. I saw it again last night. I don't understand why you people keep doing it.
Well, if they would give him some action instead of everybody just striking out while they're swinging for home runs, maybe people wouldn't be bored and not do the wave.
You know, we've never tested this. Because you love the wave, right?
It doesn't bother me. I would say I love it. I'm not starting the wave, but I'll participate in it if it swings by me.
And I'm the guy that will not participate.
Yeah, you're get-off-my-lawn guy.
Bergman, by the way, Corporate Greg, is a guy who finds the halfway mark. So do you know what he does?
Sits down and does the wave?
Stays seated, but yeah, raises his arms.
I do the same thing.
It's like a half-assed wave is what he's doing. But 877-710-ESPN, does the wave bother you or is this just on me? Do beach balls bother you or is it just on me? You know, I'm a baseball fan. I'm there to watch the game. I'm, you know, it's a tense game. It's 3-2. It's tight the whole time. And here are people doing the wave. And I'm like, come on, people, there's a game on. There's a real game on that has...
Where there hasn't been any action in 12 minutes.
That has critical implications for the rest of the season. You can always ring the show, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You can tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L.A. Ireland. You know, I was at, years ago, I was at a minor league game in one of those games where we did Rancho Cucamonga. Do you remember that?
Yep.
There was one time that I was there singing the national anthem, but I feel like you weren't there, that I did a solo at Rancho Cucamonga. And they started doing the wave, and I did not participate. And I actually was the guy who put my arms out and sort of tried to wave everybody back into their seats. Mm-hmm. And a guy threw a snow cone at me. very much the same way. One time, remember our friend Steve Hartman got a pretzel thrown at him.
At a Raider-Charger game.
Raiders-Charger game, exactly. At the black hole. By the way, will there still be a black hole at Allegiant Stadium?
It's a great question. At the Roomba.
At the Roomba? I'm not sure.
That's a great question. I would imagine there will be.
They've got a fancy club on the field. I know that much.
Yeah.
With all the fancy people who don't necessarily pay attention to the game.
Yeah, there has to be. For all the people that dress up like in Halloween Raider costumes and
I would imagine there's no question. Let's go to Jonathan in Riverside. Jonathan, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing, dude?
I'm actually driving home from work right now. So I went to the game on Saturday with the walk-off Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
And the hot dogs are horrible. I'm sorry. First thing, hot dogs horrible. I couldn't finish it. Horrible, horrible. I've been going to the Dodger Stadium since I was 5 years old.
Completely agree with you. It is not the same. I don't care what they say. It's not the same.
Not even my 4-year-old son wanted to finish it. He loves hot dogs. second thing, I used to be a wave person, but now I'm older. I do the half wave, sit down, put my arms up in the air because I like watching the game.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I guess the half-assed wave thing is something. I just find it to be a distraction from watching the game. Just it is distracting.
It is a little distracting, but I have a 4-year-old son, so I kind of want to put some energy into the game, but he sees me put my arm up, and he stands up and puts his arms up, so he enjoys it.
He does the little kid wave. I get that. All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Tim in somewhere. Tim, where are you at, Tim?
I'm in the beautiful city of Los Angeles.
Beautiful.
Country.
You're in the right town.
So there you go.
How do you feel about the wave?
I like the wave, but it has to be done at the right time. The wave is something that if you are the home team, let's say the Dodgers, start the wave when the other team's pitcher is on the mound, and let's say the bases are empty and there's one person on base, not much really happening. By starting the wave and creating that noise, the pitcher's brain begins to think that there is an artificial state of urgency.
Mm.
His brain responds to this noise and thinks something is going on, something is going on. It raises tension, and a situation with just a runner at first base and nobody out all of a sudden becomes, in his mind, there is something critical happening here. So you got to pick your spot. You got to know when to do it. Last night they started it, and the next pitch was a double play, so it doesn't always work. But the wave can be a strategy if applied properly.
That's really interesting. So Tim has got a wave strategy when the other pitcher
is on the mound.
Yeah,
Tim, I think you're overanalyzing it. The wave has a life of its own. It just starts organically, and you kind of got to ride the wave, if you know what I mean.
Let's get one more in here. Shannon's on the line. Hey, Shannon, you're on 710 ESPN. She's in Laguna Niguel. What's up?
It's not a she. It's a male.
Oh, sorry about that.
I'm not from Ireland either, so mom just named me Shannon, and middle name Scott.
That sounds good.
But anyway, I've been listening to you guys, and I'm glad you actually brought it up because I can't stand the wave. It's you know, you go to a baseball game to watch the game. If you're bored, stay home and watch the game. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. I feel like people are just bored, so they got to do the wave.
Exactly, but wait a minute. Why, you don't have to participate in it if you don't want to. What difference does it make if the guy on your left and the guy on your right's doing the wave?
I feel like they're just
they're not paying attention. Yeah, they're not paying attention.
I have a right not to pay attention if I want to.
Yeah, that's true, you do, but I feel as though if you're doing the wave, you're not there for the game.
Yeah, you don't have to distract everybody else. Which is what the wave actually does. It distracts us from the game, which is the opposite of what we need for baseball. We need people to lock into the game. Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate the phone call. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff she wants to throw at us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is Radio Tinder time. This is when Lindsay...
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brings the heat. Linz, what do you got today?
And make sure that you do, at least if you're already following me, which I know a lot of people are, like 7,300 of you, go to my Instagram page, at Lindsay Baseball, because I posted a poll on there that I want everybody to vote on.
Okay.
And it'll be my next story here in Radio Tinder. But the first one is, you know, it comes from our favorite subreddit, Am I the A-Hole?
Yes.
In which a 29-year-old man wrote in about a vacation that he took with his family and his girlfriend. It's a little long, but bear with me here because it's worth it. He wrote, quote, "My girlfriend, myself, my parents, and I all went on a vacation in another country last week. For background, I make around $150,000. My girlfriend is a teacher making $45,000. My parents are pretty affluent as well. My girlfriend knew this trip was coming up and took on a second job waitressing on the weekends for several months to save up for it.
Mm.
We've always split things 50-50 in the 2 years we've been together. There were a few times on the vacation where she did not go on the outings with us, wine tasting, scuba diving, etc. And she would also only eat two meals a day, simply stating that she was on a budget. When we got home, I asked her why she skipped out on several of the outings and meals, and she got very teary-eyed, saying she wasn't expecting everything to cost so much, and she was overwhelmed. I feel bad that I didn't pick up on her discomfort sooner, but we did agree to split everything 50-50, and I don't know why she agreed to come if the cost was an issue. Is he the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. He, if you invite your girlfriend on a trip like that, you got to pick up the tab. You can't expect
her. If you're a guy, no matter what?
He makes $150,000 a year, and Lindsay, what did she make?
$45,000 as a teacher, nonetheless.
Yeah, can't do it. If when I was dating Lisa, I used to go on vacation with her all the time, and she paid for nothing. Zero. I mean, I'm talking plane tickets, hotel, dinners, meals. It's all on me. And by the way, when I asked her, I invited her. Where did this? I want to everybody pay for their own thing. She should break up with this guy.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe right. Also, I think if you invite your girlfriend on a vacation, even with this agreement, if she's missing out on certain things,
expensive. Hello, read the room.
Right,
yeah,
right.
You're going to dinner by yourself, dude.
Yeah, with his parents, and he even mentioned in there that like his parents were like, oh, is something wrong with her? Maybe she has an eating disorder. Why is she only eating two times a day? And he said he would go back to the hotel and notice her stomach grumbling. And she was just
Oh,
like,
that's terrible.
And she would be like, Lindsay, oh, I'm just on a budget.
Lindsay, if you told me this story about a guy you were dating and it was you that was the girl in this story, I would implore you to break up with this loser every day until you did it.
Well, it's funny because in the story, he also mentioned that when they got home and they had this conversation, she said something like, I don't know if this is really going to work out for us long term. If I'm going to be expected to, afford these type of vacations again in the future, because I certainly don't want to miss out on them. But I'm a teacher. I can't really pay for them. So even though they made this agreement, what kind of idiot is going to sit there and let his girlfriend go hungry and let her stomach grumble because she said she's on a budget?
And if you invite your girlfriend on vacation with you, I've never heard of an arrangement where the girl would be expected to pay. Have you guys?
No, I have not. If you invite somebody on a vacation,
you're picking up the tab.
I mean, when I was dating my ex-boyfriend, which we dated for, 2 decades, so we went on a number of vacations, and, I feel like we split things 50-50. Like, there were some vacations
If you want to offer to pay for some stuff, Lindsay, because you feel like that's something that's important to you, I would let you pay for dinner maybe once while we were there. But or if you came to me and go, hey, look, I really want to go to Fiji. I've never been. Let's go. I'll pay my half. You pay your half, but let's go. If you came at me that way, I would talk to you about it. But if I invite you to go on vacation with me to Hawaii, I'm not making you pay for anything.
Right. And it's not necessarily, like, for example, if the reverse, let's say the guy is a teacher making $40,000 and the woman is making $150,000 doing whatever.
You know what I call that?
What?
The dream.
That's the dream. Yeah. But at what point in a relationship do you pool your money? Let's skip ahead to this because I find this really interesting. John, at what point in your relationship with Lisa did you just pool your money and say, it's all ours?
We had been dating several years and her car was no good anymore. She needed to buy a car and she didn't have the money for it. And I go, I'll pay for that. And she goes, are you sure? And, we've never really done that. And I go, yeah,
you're
of course.
You're such a gem, John. You really are a nice guy.
And I thought that was, Mace, in my head, that was the okay.
Yeah.
Now we're heading down. Now that we're pooling money, we're heading down the marriage road.
I'd say it was only 6 months before Juan and I did it.
Whoa.
Because we just knew. I mean, we moved in within 2 months.
Yeah, you guys move faster than the non-gays. I'm telling you, it's like you've always. I don't know anybody who moved in together with a girl in 2 months.
Oh, don't you think that happens? When it's real, it's real, right? When it's love, it's love. I'm naive.
Do you know
that
anybody
way.
Who moved in with their significant other within 2 months?
I do, actually. My old roommate, my first roommate when I moved out here did. We just re-signed a new lease, and like 3 weeks later, she was like, things are getting really serious with me and John, so I think we're going to move to the Valley and rent a house. So you have a month to figure out what you're going to do.
That's actually an interesting question. How long do you wait in a relationship before you move in together? Maybe we take some calls on that. 877-710-ESPN. Let's do that. 877-710-ESPN.
Apparently,
after
in your
Radio
case,
Tinder.
The answer is 2 months.
2 months! Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't unless I knew for sure that I was considering marrying them.
Yeah,
and I never pooled my money with my boyfriend. We lived together for 15 years or whatever. And my money was still my money and his money was his.
Interesting.
He did not have access to mine and vice versa. And I wanted to keep it that way.
Yeah, we have a bank account. And that happened pretty quick, within 6 months, I would say. Because I'm naive and I just believe in love and all that. But, I mean, it's lasted almost 16 years now. So my judgment was correct. But yeah, no, we did move really, really fast, really fast. All right, Lynch, what's next?
All right. So the owner of a Flintstones themed house in a posh San Francisco suburb has settled a lawsuit with the town of Hillsboro. So if you follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball, you can vote on this poll that I posted, which has the photo of the house in question. It's literally the Flintstones themed house.
I've seen this house before. Yeah, it's very colorful, to say the least.
It's colorful. It's got the dinosaurs out front. We also posted it on Twitter at ESPN Los Angeles. But anyway, the home the homeowner of this crazy Flintstones house defended her colorful, bulbous-shaped house and its elaborate homage to the Flintstone family, which features Stone Age sculptures inspired by the 1960s cartoon, along with aliens, dinosaurs, and other oddities. The town, however, called the dinosaurs and the life-size sculptures a highly visible eyesore and sued the homeowner, alleging that she violated local codes when she put the dinosaur sculptures in the backyard and made other landscaping changes that caused local officials to declare it a public nuisance. So now they've settled everything, and they're going to allow the homeowner to keep the weird Flintstones house and all the sculptures as long as they provide the proper building permits. But I want to ask you guys, would you be okay with this public nuisance, so-called, being your next-door neighbor? Swipe left or swipe right?
Probably not, just because it lowers your property values.
Yeah, swipe left. I mean, I got a lot of money in that house. I don't want the property values to go down. I mean, I had a John, you remember when I lived in Westwood?
Yeah.
The people next door to me
that left up the Christmas lights all year?
Left up Christmas lights all year, painted their house pink, and put a pond in their front yard. I mean, I was like, I was way too much. It was way too much. It's like enough already. Now, did I ever have that conversation? No, I didn't. But did I grumble about it? Yes. If it was a Flintstone house, would I say something? Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think this is one of those things where, I mean, I'm assuming people can like walk by or drive by and visit it, you know, that would probably be super annoying.
That'd be annoying, yeah.
But it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like, do you think it would really make your property value go down? Because I feel like it's like a nostalgia thing, like a landmark, you know?
Yeah, that is not a landmark I want to live next door to. You're limiting the number of people who would be interested in buying your house someday. And when you own it, when you got a house, you're like, I want my full value out of it. I want my equity and all that stuff. So, yeah, I would be upset, and I would probably say something about Flintstone's house.
Well, just so you know that the listeners who voted on my Instagram poll, 52% of them said no. So it was close. It wasn't like a hell no, but 52% of them said no. They don't want to live next door to that, quote, public nuisance.
Yeah, I don't want to live next door to Wilma and Fred.
Okay. Well, last one here. Megan Thee Stallion is giving back to hotties and encouraging financial literacy. Earlier today, the hip-hop artist partnered with Cash App to give away $1 million worth of stock to her fans. She also released a video teaching fans about investing and building wealth with stocks. All you have to do to be part of her investment giveaway is comment on her latest post with your cash tag or tweet the hashtag Cash App for Hotties with your cash tag. So two questions here. One, should young women take stock advice from Megan Thee Stallion? And two, will you tweet Cash App for Hotties to try and win some free stock? Swipe left or swipe right?
I will not do it, Lindsay, but my question is, did you do it?
No.
Really?
Why not?
Well, I mean, I just read about it, and I don't know if I really... Do I want free stock for Megan Thee Stallion? And the reason I ask you guys is because...
When I have an unanswerable question, something I cannot figure out, the first place I turn is Megan Thee Stallion.
Exactly. That's what I want to know. Do you think I, as a young woman, should take stock advice from Megan Thee Stallion?
Wait a minute. Let's give some credit to Megan Thee Stallion and female empowerment. And I like that song, WAP, as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
I like Megan Thee Stallion. She's got to be smart to do what she's been able to do in her career. You don't accidentally become a major, major star. Aww. She's got something. You think you accidentally become a major star?
I think luck has a lot to do with it, being in the right place at the right time.
I do agree with that. But I would not necessarily scoff at stock advice or investment advice from Megan Thee Stallion. I'm not going to tweet the, what do you got to tweet? Hottie?
You should. That's why I wanted to see if you would do it. Hashtag Cash App for Hotties.
Cash App for Hotties. Okay.
I can win
something?
Yeah, she's giving away like 10, 20, however many dollars here and there to people that tweet that.
Okay. I'm for $10 or $20.
Yeah.
I know the value of a dollar.
Maybe you'll get lucky and get stock in like Tesla and then it'll blow up or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd love some
but
of that.
But Ireland, you're out on that, huh?
No, I'm out.
Okay. All right. Well, that is Radio Tinder for today.
All right. A lot of people calling, by the way, about how long you should wait before you move in with somebody.
Okay. And Mace, somebody got into the NFL Hall of Fame yesterday that I can't believe wasn't in there already.
Mm.
You know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
All right, we'll have that for you, too.
All right, cool. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.